Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Happy National Day of Prayer, everybody. I don't know if you listened to the show yesterday, but we had Richard Mansfield, Pastor Richard, on the phone. He is the chairman of New Mexico Praise. And right now, as we speak, you can participate in the National Day of Prayer. Now, we don't want you to go away from this show, but I understand that a lot of it's going to be recorded. It's been going on from 11:30, and it'll go all the way till 1:30. Pastors all over the country praying over the leadership of our country. A lot of great people like Richard Mansfield, Pastor Skip Heitzik, and others from New Mexico participating in that. So we hope that if you need prayer, that you will really strongly consider that. And we're going to have a fun show today. We've got Abby Williams, my daughter, one of those people that's graduating from college, and she's not going to have a graduation ceremony, and she's going to talk with us a little bit about that and some other work that she's doing. But in our first segment, we're going to talk with Coach Derek Wareheim, offensive coordinator for the University of New Mexico football team. Derek, welcome to ABQ Connect.
Thanks so much. It's good to be here. Fired up to be on with you.
Hey, Coach, we started our conversation here a few minutes before the show started by us both saying we need football, don't we?
We need it desperately. Nationwide in particular, I know everybody's, you know, super hungry to get back into it and you know, be constantly updated with what's going on with, you know, spring recruiting and spring ball with high schools and colleges and even in the National Football League with their OTAs and things like that post-draft. So, yeah, we're all hungry for sure.
Well, Coach, I'm so glad that you could be on today, and I want to start our conversation by asking you about the players you have recruited and their families. How is everybody doing during the stay-at-home order?
I think everybody's doing as well as they can. You know, we're in constant communication with our current players, the guys that we signed in February, you know, that are finishing up high school right now, our players' parents and the signees' parents as well. And, you know, everybody's doing well. We had a couple of guys, current players of ours, that kind of went through a couple of scares, with some sickness and things like that, but fortunately came up, you know, healthy and everything was in good shape. But as far as the guys and the kids that we signed in February, everybody's doing really well. But as we had mentioned a minute ago, just extremely hungry to get back here and to get started and to, you know, really get back together. I think this whole thing has really made everybody appreciate each other more and really want the, you know, face-to-face relationship. And guys are missing things that, you know, they once took for granted, as are we as coaches, you know, really missing that face-to-face relationship that you're, you know, when you're with your guys or in the locker room with them or sitting down eating breakfast or lunch with them, you know, you just miss those times that, it, you know, north naturally you take for granted.
You bet. Hey, I want to ask you a little bit about the technology that you're using. Are you just making phone calls or are you doing Zoom meetings and talking with, you know, FaceTime and those kind of things? Are you getting comfortable with those technologies? And is there kind of a silver lining that maybe some of that will be part of the new normal?
Yes, to both of your questions. I've gotten extremely comfortable with Zoom conversations and meetings. You know, we're using that as a recruiting tool to be able to bring turkey to prospects and their families. Obviously able to clinic with other coaches around the country because we've all got some extra time on our hands, obviously. And then having position meetings with our current players just to stay up to speed with the scheme itself and seeing each other face to face a few times a week, in kind of a controlled setting, you know, but we're using everything. I mean, phone calls, text messages, social media, group me, Zoom, face, I mean, all of the above to be able to communicate with everybody that we need to be able to communicate with, to get our job done. Email, you name it. It's kind of the world that we're living in right now, being different. But yeah, I do believe there is, some positives that will come from this experience. I think we're all learning that we don't necessarily have to all be sitting in a room face to face to be productive. You know, that's been the norm in coaching since the beginning of coaching. And now that we haven't been able to do that for now 8 weeks or almost 8 weeks, you know, I think we've learned that we can some of the tools that we have here, we got to be able to continue to get our job done and at the same time be able to spend a little bit more extra time with our family and things like that and really not fall too far behind.
Coach, I know that you got about a week, if I'm not mistaken, into spring practice before the COVID thing happened. What did you miss in the rest of spring practice, and how will you make that up going forward?
We got 2 weeks, which was 8 practices. We did 4 practices in those 2 weeks right leading up to spring break, which coincidentally was the beginning of the COVID-19 shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a lot of production in those 8 practices. And to be honest with you, you know, practice number 7 and practice number 8, that Thursday and Friday of the last week, you know, we saw a lot of production, a lot of productivity, a lot of lights starting to flip on and click with our guys, you know, and the whole team. Everything was starting to make sense. The expectations were starting to really click, and you could see some guys play. So that part was, on the positive side of it, it was great to be able to have that moment to where you could see some of it starting to make sense and kids starting to have success doing things the way that you want it done. And on the flip side of it, the negative is you could not continue the charge up the hill to continue to just make improvements day by day after that time period. So overall, you know, I think what Coach Gonzalez really wanted to get established in spring practice more than scheme was what the expectation for our players is and how we're going to practice and how we're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that in those 8 practices, those guys now have an understanding of what Coach wants out of those practices, out of those meetings, and exactly what it is and what the expectation is for how we're going to play and practice and train. So from a positive standpoint, again, I think that was great. I think that you just lose out on some of the detail and some of the situational stuff that kind of comes along with football that you need to get in there and you need to teach. So now what we're in the middle of is, as opposed to sitting in a meeting room and teaching this information to our players and then going out on the practice field and executing it, we're doing it through Zoom meetings and teaching that same amount of information that we would have gotten to after spring break.
Mm.
But we're just having to discuss it, you know, in a meeting-type setting as opposed to being able to get on our feet and do it in full-speed action. So that part you lose, but at least you're able to get this information in their brains mentally.
Mm.
So whenever they come back and we get back together, it's not a foreign language to them. You know, they'll be like, oh, yep, I remember when we discussed that in the meetings. You know, now let's transition and get on the field and go do it. So
yes,
you lose a little bit of that, but you're still gaining the mental training, you know, of the things you're trying to get taught.
Coach, this is a little bit off script, but what are your players able to do right now in terms of working out? I mean, I guess they could probably be running and doing calisthenics and other kinds of exercises where they're social distancing, but is there a way for them to get in a weight room by themselves or do any of that type of training?
For some, yes. It just depends on what's available to them. You know, there are some of our players that have access to weight rooms and equipment at their own homes.
Mm-hmm.
Some have access to, you know, some other areas where they can get in there and do some legitimate weight workouts with the proper equipment. Others don't have access to those things. So what our strength and conditioning coach has done, Jimmy Carson's done a phenomenal job with planning all of this, is given all of our guys suggested workout plans for both lifting weights and strength training, as well as, you know, running workouts, change of direction workouts, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And those workouts that he's given them are all kind of tailored to whether you have everything available to you or whether you have nothing available to you. Mm-hmm. And so those guys are following along with those workouts a few days a week from a resistance training standpoint, and then a, you know, a conditioning standpoint, a couple of days a week, just to keep their bodies where they need to be as best they can. And then also, you know, pounding away with, you know, the nutrition and hydration and rest and staying on a normal schedule.
Yes.
You know, you don't want them sleeping in until 2 o'clock in the afternoon and staying up all night. You want to keep on some normal schedule too. But yeah, they're as whatever's available to them. You know, if they can get in there and get after it, but if they don't have anything, they're push-ups, sit-ups, squats, using, you know, things around the house to for extra resistance and stuff like that, and flexibility, just as much as they can to stay where they need to be.
Well, Coach, I know a lot of people are really anxious to know about your player and your players and your team. And I know there's some NCAA rules about, you know, who you can talk about and who you can't. So I don't want to violate those. So you coach us through that. But I am one of those guys that I know most fans always look at the ball. So I always want to know about the quarterbacks and the wide receivers and the running backs. But I have to tell you that I'm more fascinated with those big linemen and the things going on away from the ball. So I wanted to start asking you about players that are going to be providing the protection and really leading that offense. Can you tell us a little bit about how the offense will be structured and who those guys are up front?
Yeah, we've actually got a number of guys that are going to have the ability to help us in the offensive line this year. Jason Linsmeyer, our offensive line coach, you know, he does a phenomenal job. He and I worked here together before when I was here from 2012 to 2014. And I've been around some good line coaches. I've got offensive line background myself, and he's as good as there is in the whole country. And he does a great job of developing relationships with these guys. He does a great job in recruiting. He does a great job of teaching life skill. And then from a technique, fundamental effort, communication standpoint with the offensive linemen, you know, again, he's second to none, again, in my experience. But we've got a number of guys that have the ability to help us, you know, going into the season. And so Teton Saltese is one, you know, he's a local guy. He's played offensive tackle here. And Teton has really had a nice spring and has the opportunity to come in and help us at the offensive tackle position and really have a nice season. We brought in
Coach, I did want to add one thing. I want to add one thing, and I have to do this. Teton can play some hoops too, my friend.
He can do what?
Teton can play some hoops. Just let me tell you that as well. This guy can go to the rim, because I've seen him play when he was in high school, and he's not only a fantastic football player, but the guy knows how to put it in the basket too. So just thought I'd throw that in, since I'm an old basketball player.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. No, he's a really good all around athlete. He's as good as I've been around, especially for a bit like himself. Smart guy that really cares about the program and very involved in the community. Justice Spates is another young player for us that played some offensive tackle for us in the spring, has a chance to help us and get in the mix and play. We signed a kid named Ben Davis. He's a grad transfer prospect out of Minnesota, originally from Northern California. Started to pick up the offense and did a nice job. Kyle Stapley, I think, is going to do a really nice job for us as center. He had a really good spring, you know, very dependable player, cares, great communicator, tough. And then a few other guys, you know, Kate Briggs played some last year as a freshman. Bishop Gorman, kid out of Vegas, you know, he's got a chance to have a good year. Austin Cook really came along in the spring. JUCO transfer kid out of Butler. Jacob Jankowiak unfortunately hurt his knee in the spring, but he was having a nice couple of practices. And then Greg Brown is another young player that was a mid-year enrollee out of Houston. Really proving to have a chance to help us. Isaac Gutierrez is another one. Guy that we signed at mid-year out of Butte College up in Northern California. Tough guy, interior lineman, has a chance to help us. So, you know, there are some guys, as well as some newcomers that were anxious to get here, you know, that weren't able to go through spring grills, that, you know, were anxious to see what they can do and handle and things like that. But we feel like we have some guys. You know, we don't just have five. We feel like we have, you know, seven or eight guys. Hayden Wilson's another one that did a nice job this spring. You know, so we have a number of guys that we feel like we can continue to develop and that can go in the game and help us win a championship.
Awesome. Derek Wareheim, the offensive coordinator for the University of New Mexico football team, on the phone with us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. When we come back after these messages, we're going to talk to Coach Wareheim about what we as fans can expect from the offense at New Mexico. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
This is Chip Lusko. I want to let you know that Star 88 and KNKT are sponsoring a mission trip to Uganda in October. We'll be working with Bev Rich at the Called Christians compound in Jinja. I'll be leading this mission, and it will be no tourist trip. Here's the plan. We'll be doing prison, hospital, and slum work in Jinja, also taking a tent with us and a sound system to go to several villages and conduct evangelistic crusades, conferences, and children's church. So we'll work hard, but we'll also play hard. We'll have a chance to take a boat ride on Lake Victoria and see the start of the Nile River. Another highlight will be two trips into a big game park on safari. This is going to be a unique and productive trip, and we still have places available for you to go and to serve. If you want more information and an application, email me at studio@star88.fm. That's studio@star88.fm. The dates are October 1st through October 19th of 2020.
A Harvest America Moment with Pastor Greg Laurie.
Now, we look at our country right now. Our country is in a spiritual and moral meltdown. So we think, let's get busy. Okay, I want to tell you what our two secret weapons are right now as a church. By the way, they're not boycott and protest, nor are they even register and vote. The secret weapons the church has that are rarely employed are prayer and preaching. Prayer and preaching. We need to pray for America like never before. We need to pray for a spiritual awakening. And then we need to preach. And that's why we do what we do. Because we want to bring the gospel to people so their hearts can change. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not give up.
Impact your world with the gospel by knowing God and making Him known. Connect with Pastor Greg Laurie and sign up to receive his free daily devotion emails. To get started, visit harvest.org today.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back into ABQ Connect. Derek Wehrheim, the offensive coordinator for the University of New Mexico Lobo football team. We're hoping that football team gets on the field here pretty soon. We could all use the therapeutic entertainment that the Lobos provide us, and I'm, for one, missing sports badly, Coach. Thank you for joining us today. This is really a treat to talk with you, and I know you're excited to be back in New Mexico. Why did Derek Wehrheim come back to New Mexico?
Well, first and foremost, when my wife Kelly and I were here before with our kids, you know, we really enjoyed it. Mm. We really liked the city. I never, you know, had grown up and been around any place like this before from a landscape standpoint, a weather standpoint. You know, it's a phenomenal community and there's a ton of stuff to do here. Mm. You know, with your family, it's a great place to live, you know, and we left here and we went to the University of Houston, for an opportunity to work for Tom Herman, who I had actually GA'd for, was a graduate assistant as a young coach for him way back when at Rice University. So he got his first head coaching job at Houston. We left and went there for a couple of years, had a lot of success, and then things worked out, and he got the head coaching job at the University of Texas, and we went to Texas for a few years and really enjoyed that experience and had some success there. And, you know, it was kind of perfect timing, you know, because Coach Gonzalez reached out and asked if I'd be interested in coming here and joining him as the offensive coordinator. And in my mind, I was ready to jump into that role, you know, and being in a coordinator role. And, you know, it's a great place. And after having the chance to meet Coach Gonzalez and really get to know him and his wife, Sandra, and his background and his philosophy and beliefs as a man and you know, the CEO of an organization, it was kind of a no-brainer. You know, and it was the right decision. You know, it's been unbelievable experience, from day one, you know, starting here with Coach Gonzalez and the staff that he's put together. And every day is fun to go to work, whether we're in the office or Zoom meeting as a staff at home or texting throughout the day. You wake up and you're excited to be a part of this organization and work for a guy like Coach Gonzalez and work with the staff that he's put together. So,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of an all-encompassing, no-brainer decision for us.
Coach, this is kind of a long way around the block to ask you two questions. I want to know what we can expect from the offense, but I want you to mix in there. What is an offensive coordinator? Do you get to just be creative, and do you adapt the offense to your players? Do the players need to fit into your system? How does that all work?
It's a little bit of both. So first and foremost, you do get to be creative, yet at the same time, it's the number one job description of any football coach when it comes to games and winning games is to put the guys that you coach in the best position to be successful. And if that means the scheme's got to be adapted to fit the skill set of a certain player or one of your best players, then the scheme needs to be adapted and things need to be changed, you know, to fit a particular player or the addition of a scheme or the subtraction of a scheme because it doesn't necessarily fit, to make sure that we're doing the right things. And then it's, okay, these guys are our best guys. Hopefully everybody on the field is really talented, and it doesn't matter who touches the ball. But more times than not, you got two or three guys that you want to be the guys that touch the ball the majority of the time. And what can happen is, you know, the opponent defense, they can't take a player out of the game because of the way they're defending you. So you've got to have a plan to move these guys around to where you can still get them the ball, and the defense can't eliminate a football player from a game. Mm. So there's some creativity. There's some thinking. The whole staff is involved in what we do. Mm-hmm. With ideas and creativity and input, and we sit down and we make decisions as a group, and we all believe in those decisions, and we go into the meeting room and we teach those things that we made decisions on, and we go to the practice field and we coach them as far as we can until we get them perfected. And but no, that, at the end of the day, that's the overall job of all of us, is to put our players in the best position to be successful. No different than raising your own children, right? You want to give them the tools necessary, you know, whenever they leave you, to have a chance to be successful. So we kind of view what we do from a football standpoint in the exact same manner.
Is it a challenge to you to design, or maybe I shouldn't even ask if it's a challenge. I want to know if it helps you be more creative and do your job when you have defensive specialists like Rocky Long and Danny Gonzalez as part of the staff. Is it a challenge to try to counter what they're throwing at you defensively?
Absolutely. Yeah, those are two of the best defensive coaches in the country. Mm. So it is a blessing for us as an offensive staff and for our players to have the opportunity to compete against those guys every day in practice. I mean, that is an absolute blessing. And Coach Long and Coach Gonzalez, those guys have a ton of experience, and it's great to have people in the building that you see each and every day that you trust, that you can go ask questions to, say, hey, what do you think about this? Or when we did this yesterday in practice, what is your opinion of that? Is that something that we should continue to do? Or should it be tweaked? Should we eliminate it? Because those guys have seen a lot of football, and it only makes us better.
Yes.
You know, it only makes us better as offensive coaches. And if it makes us better as offensive coaches, it makes our offense better, and it makes our organization better. So, again, I can't reiterate it enough. It is an absolute blessing to have those guys, you know, in the organization and have the ability to bounce ideas off of them.
Coach, in watching your offense at New Mexico back in the day, speed and great running were exemplary in your offense. In fact, you were, I think, close to the top in the nation in terms of a rushing offense. Is that something we can expect to continue?
That's something that's going to be a part of this program for as long as Coach Gonzalez is the head football coach, which is what we all hope to be for as long as he wants to be the head football coach in New Mexico. That's kind of the cornerstone of who we are on both sides of the football. You know, we're find a way to establish the run because of the toughness and the will that it takes to run the football effectively. And on the defensive side of the ball, it is make a commitment to stopping the run and try to make the opposing offense one-dimensional. So that's going to be a, you know, kind of the cornerstone of who we are, again, from a toughness, you know, philosophical mindset standpoint. That will be a part of what we do. We'll look a little bit different than what we did between 2012 and 2014. Some of those run concepts will still be a part of who we are, but formationally and some of the things we do in the throw game will be a little bit different than what we were doing, you know, back in those 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Coach, tell me who the perfect, or describe the perfect UNM offensive football player for us. Who are you looking for? What kind of athletes are you looking for?
We want them to be smart guys. We want them to be tough, and we want them to be dependable. You know, those are kind of the three things that you're always looking for in a football player. And if you fit that into, you know, a guy that's a really fast running back that's got great vision and does an unbelievable job of protecting the football, the guy's going to help you win championships, and he's going to be a guy that you love coaching every day, you know. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of fit that into offensive linemen, quarterbacks, receivers, tight ends. We want smart guys, from a football standpoint. You know, they're not all straight A students. They're not all going to get their degree in engineering or what have you. But football intelligent players that understand the game. And, you know, we want them to be tough. You got to be mentally and physically tough, to play this game and to live this life that we live.
Yes.
Right? You can't be mentally and physically soft and be successful in life. So we want them to be mentally and physically tough, and then they got to be dependable. They've got to be trustworthy. I mean, there's 11 guys on the field, and every guy on the field is depending on the man next to him to do their job. And in an offensive football, if one of the 11 doesn't do their job at a high level, the likelihood of that play working significantly decreases because of one man's mistake. And so from that perspective, you know, you've got to have people that are dependable and trustworthy out there in the game that everybody knows is, you know, the guy next to them is going to do their job, and they're going to do their job for the guy next to them. So that part of it is critical whenever we're evaluating people and making decisions on who we're going to bring into our program. You know, they got to fit that criteria. If they're not an intelligent football player, you're going to have a hard time coaching them. If they're not mentally or physically tough, they're going to have a hard time fitting into our culture under Coach Gonzalez. And if they're not a dependable human being, you know, we're going to have a hard time trusting them to go into the game and play.
Right, right. Well, one of the things that I've noticed about coaches over the years is the only UNM football coach that we have had that really recruited top athletes that were in New Mexico. And hey, I'm a realist. I'm from New Mexico, went to El Dorado High School, played at UNM from El Dorado High School. We've had a couple of tremendous football players come out of there, guys like Jim Everett, who played at Purdue, and then he was Los Angeles Rams quarterback, and Vince Evans and some others have been great football players. We've got a young man that went to El Dorado that's now a tight end in the NFL for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, there's all kinds of guys from New Mexico, but Coach Rocky Long was able to successfully recruit a lot of those top athletes. And I know that we can't just recruit New Mexico players and win because we just don't have the size. But we do have some good players here and there. What is the key to getting kids to stay home? Is that one of your toughest assignments?
I don't know that it's necessarily a tough assignment. The number one thing in recruiting, period, is relationship development. Right. And whether a young man is from the city of Albuquerque or is from another city or small town throughout this state, or he's from Texas, Oklahoma, California, or anywhere in between, you know, these guys that are making decisions on where they want to go to college, they want to know that the people that they're coming to play for have their best interest in mind, have their back, and are willing to invest in their lives more than just teaching them plays and technique and fundamentals that apply to those football plays to go win games. So the biggest challenge in recruiting really doesn't have anything to do with location of where a young man is. It's your willingness to invest in the relationship development process between the young man, his family, and anybody else that's involved in his life that's important to him. And if you do that and you do it the right way, then your likelihood of the young man coming to play for you and trusting you is very high, you know, that he'll make that decision. You know, sometimes there's challenges when it comes to recruiting locally. I don't want to just simply speak on the state of New Mexico alone, but anywhere that I've ever been. Mm-hmm. You know, the one challenge that does come up from time to time occasionally is sometimes kids want to get away from their hometown because they want to feel like they've gone off to college, you know, just for that simple feeling. And whenever those discussions and points come up, you know, we get into those and we talk about those things and, you know, get down to the bottom of why somebody may have those feelings. And, you know, whether that be good or bad is irrelevant. It's what the young man thinks. And it's important to be extremely transparent and, again, open, honest, available to these people during the recruiting process. But, yes, recruiting the state of New Mexico is a priority for us here. And we want the absolute best players in the state that are also the best players in the Mountain West Conference to come play at the University of New Mexico and yes. to come help us win championships here under Coach Gonzalez. And like you had mentioned before, Coach Long was the head coach. There were a number of extremely talented prospects from the state of New Mexico that joined Lobo football team and became phenomenal players,
yes.
developed under Coach Long. And you go on and play in the National Football League and everything else in between. And we want that to be the, you know, a staple of what we do here in terms of keeping the best right here at home.
Coach, when we were visiting right before the program, we talked about the situation and knowing when the season can start and all of those things is kind of fluid right now. Of course, you're talking about all the contingencies with you and your staff, and I'm sure the governor's office and the University of New Mexico leadership, the president and athletic directors and everybody are talking about it constantly. But once it starts, I know you'll be really excited. I'm very excited about it. I'm immediately going to attend every possible game I can, and I've only been attending about one or two football games a year. I'm so excited for your staff, the energy that I'm hearing from Coach Gonzalez. It's a pleasure to meet you today. Tell us how you would like our listeners, you know, we're largely a faith-based audience. How would you like us to support your efforts and UNM football?
Well, I would say the number one thing that anybody can do is just support our players. Mm. You know, these guys are the ones that invest all this time, effort, and energy in what they do here. And they're the ones that are to be applauded for what they do. I mean, they spend a lot of time in the classroom. They spend a lot of time in study hall, a lot of time in the weight room, meeting rooms, practice. And, you know, these guys invest a lot of time throughout the year, and they've got, in normal years, 12 guaranteed games. This year's unique. We have 13 guaranteed games. And that's 13 days out of the year where they actually get to play the game that they train year-round for.
Mm.
And within that one day, you know, a game on average lasts about 3.5 hours between halftime and TV timeouts and things like that. And for a lot of these guys, you know, within that 3.5 hour contest, they're actually playing the game live from snap the whistle from anywhere from 6 minutes to 10 minutes
mm-hmm.
is as long as they're playing that game for that one day. And, you know, they invest a lot of time, that normal people that you've got to be a special person, in my opinion, to play college football and to excel at the college level because of all the time constraint that exists. And you have very little free time mm-hmm. to be as good as you can. If you want to be a great one, you got very little free time and your world revolves around a few small things that are very concentrated. So for the fans that are out there, you know, those are the guys that need your support. They want your support. They want to feel the city of Albuquerque and the surrounding suburbs in the state of New Mexico. They want to feel that support and know and understand that no matter what, the people in this city and the people in this state have their back and are with them through everything. And that's the number one way that people can support. So whether it be through social media, you know, whether that be coming to the games, whether that be tailgating before the game, high-fiving guys as they're walking into the stadium after we get off the bus, you know, any way that people in the community, they can support our guys and applaud them for what they do, you know, that alone will go a long way.
Well, Coach, I can promise you this. We'll all be praying for your leadership, your players, and we want to be a tool for you here at KNKT. I'm hoping that we can get you and other coaches and your coaching staff, Coach Danny, back on the air with us, because we want to keep the enthusiasm up, especially as the details get worked out. Want to remind everybody that you can go to golobos.com and get daily news and things that are posted about the season and the schedule. And Coach, you mentioned that 13-game schedule, and I must say that is going to be a tough schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. They all are. I mean, because rarely do you play anybody that's not very good, and there's a ton of great players out there. There's a ton of great coaches. The Mountain West Conference is a phenomenal league, filled with great players and great coaches and environments, you know, when you go on the road that are difficult to play in. At times you got to deal with weather and things like that in this conference, more so than some others, in particular when it gets closer to November and December. You know, and then, you know, we go on the road to play Mississippi State in Starkville. We go on the road to play USC in Los Angeles. And, you know, and New Mexico State's a head-knocking football game every single year. And, you know, we've got UMass and we've got Idaho State. I mean, they're all good. You know, there's not many bad teams out there, and the guys are always going to play with phenomenal effort.
Well, that's one of the things I know.
Your A game every single week.
I get the feeling from talking with Coach Danny that we are not going to have to worry about effort on this football team. You guys are going to be bringing it each day, and that's not only in practice, but it's in the games. And we're going to be just blessed by that. I can't wait to see the season start. Looking forward to all the things that you've talked about, and maybe next time when we get together, we'll ask you some more specifics about how things are going. Hopefully you'll be back on the field, at least practicing by then. So Coach Derek Wareheim, offensive coordinator for the University of New Mexico, thank you for joining us today on ABQ Connect.
Thanks so much for having me.